Think owl, think tree. But one species of owl, the burrowing owl, prefers the underground. And that has led to some other unusual adaptations. From Idaho, Jeff Rice has our story.
It's well over 100 degrees out on the Snake River Plain in southern Idaho, and biologist Dr. Jim Beltoff is digging for owls. This is a study site on the Snake River Birds of Prey National Conservation Area, a few dozen miles from Boise. The vast expanse of tan-colored soil and sagebrush has one of the densest populations of nesting raptors in North America. Today, we're hoping to find some rare burrowing owls.
The owls will be down here in this chamber.
Western burrowing owls are one of the smallest owl species and live in abandoned ground squirrel or badger holes in wide open areas like this one. The field is next to a highway and seems barren, mostly clay soil and hardly even any grass, exactly the way the owls like it.
They like areas with very little vegetation, little or none actually is what they prefer, and the reasoning is that they like no vegetation so that they can see any ground-dwelling predators approaching their nest so that they can get out of the way.
It's a strategy that works. A tiny brown and white adult owl, no more than 10 inches tall, spots us. He rises up on a pair of spindly legs, sounding a warning call. The rest of the owls are hunkered down, but we know right where to dig. Beltoff, a professor at Boise State University, has built some artificial plastic burrows. The owls have moved in, and he can dig down to the lid and open up the den without too much trouble.
Some footprints in front of this one, so we'll probably find some babies in here.
Beltoff reaches his hand into the den to retrieve a bird, and suddenly, the sound is coming from inside the hole. We know this area is crowded with rattlesnakes, but Beltoff doesn't jump back. He reaches deeper into the hole, blindly feeling around. He grabs something, coming out with a burrowing owl fledgling. The bird is about a month old, its mouth is open, and it's hissing at us.
Burrowing owls have about 17 documented types of vocalizations, of which this rattle call, or hiss, is one of them.
It's uncanny. Beltoff explains that it's something that only the juvenile owls will do. They haven't developed their ability to fly yet, so they need another way to ward off predators.
It's a case of what's called mimicry in animals, and where either the sight of something or the sound of something sounds like something else. And in this particular case, it's a case of Batesian mimicry, where the sound of something that's harmless actually mimics something that's harmful. There's a lot of rattlesnakes in holes, and so any potential predator that's coming up on this hole and sneaking down the tunnel would actually think twice, perhaps, if he hears a rattlesnake in there. Certainly, I feel some trepidation when I'm reaching my arm down in there and I hear those rattles, and I'm hoping it's not a rattlesnake.
The owl's mimicry is effective against predators like badgers, but it can't protect it from its biggest threat, bulldozers and creeping human sprawl. Burrowing owls are considered threatened or endangered in a number of western states. The owls tend to live on wide-open, flat ground, a perfect place for shopping malls and parking lots. That's why Beltoff is monitoring the birds, keeping track of their health and weight, and tagging them to study their migration patterns.
We band each one with an aluminum leg band, and then we give them three color bands, and so that then when they sit up on a perch, we can actually read those color band combinations with a spotting scope, and we can tell who it is we're dealing with without having to recapture them.
After the young birds are tagged, we cover up the owl den. An adult owl has been watching us from a fence post, probably the whole time. It's a call a bit less fearsome above ground. For Living on Earth, I'm Jeff Rice in southern Idaho.
Next week on Living on Earth, look out, Mother Earth! Astrophysicists say there's a giant asteroid headed our way.
This object, if it hits Earth, it'll hit somewhere between Hawaii and California in, obviously, the Pacific Ocean. That hit will generate tsunamis on the level that has never been experienced in recorded history.
Well, that's the bad news. The good news is that scientists say they can deflect the asteroid and save the planet. Find out how next week on Living on Earth. Earth is produced by the World Media Foundation. Our crew includes Chris Ballman, Eileen Belinsky, Jennifer Chu, and Susan Shepard, with help from Christopher Bullock, Kelly Cronin, James Kerwood, and Michelle Queter. Our interns are Ashley Ahern, Brianna Asbury, and Emily Torgrimson. Our technical director is Dennis Foley. Allison Dean composed our themes. You can find us at loe.org. I'm Steve Kerwood. Thanks for listening.
Funding for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation, supporting coverage of emerging science and Stonyfield Farm, organic yogurt, smoothies, and milk. 10% of profits are donated to efforts that help protect and restore the Earth. Details at stonyfield.com. Support also comes from NPR member stations and the Ford Foundation for reporting on U.S. environment and development issues, and the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation for coverage of Western issues.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.